Brian, when we talk about NPR, National Public Radio, and PBS, the Public Broadcasting Service or system, tell us a little bit about how these entities got started. What was the lay of the land whenever they came into being and the rationale for that?
Public media was created for a media landscape that doesn't exist anymore. Public media as we know it today began when the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is an independent nonprofit, was created by the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967. So it is a creation of the Great Society. And at that time, it was common for a community to have access to, say, only three or maybe four television stations. There would have been mostly AM radio stations, as FM was just beginning to gain popularity. So obviously, the media landscape is dramatically different today. Whether you could look at cable channels, which are still in full force, podcasts, streaming, all the other platforms. Yet this year, the CPB is receiving a federal appropriation of $535 million. Last year, it received $525 million, so it got a $10 million increase this year. And that funding, the way the money works, is the funding is distributed by the CPB to the local public radio and television stations who carry NPR and PBS programming. So the funding doesn't go directly to NPR and PBS, but it goes to the local radio and television station. And that funding represents roughly 10% of local public television station revenue. Now, that may vary by markets, as for rural stations, the federal funding may be a larger portion of their overall funding, but generally it's only about 10% of what local stations receive. And of course, as is often the case, when you deal with money from the federal government, there are strings attached. So public radio and television affiliates are prohibited by statute from running commercial advertising. So they get no commercial advertising revenues, at least, cannot lawfully get them. And so as I look at this, I think given our $36 trillion and growing national debt, the ongoing work to reduce the size of the federal government that's leading to spending cuts throughout the government, and then the extensive choices that we have for news, information, and educational programming today, I think we just need to ask why.
Of course, the defenders of public broadcasting here, Brian, will say, well, they've given us things like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or Sesame Street, and that is true. Those were some very valuable programming that was put out by public broadcasting, but you can now get that elsewhere, correct?
That is correct. There's all kinds of diverse sources for educational programming, and I certainly agree. I think that there's been some very good programming. You think about PBS, you had a couple of good examples. I personally enjoy shows like American Experience and American Masters and many of the other documentaries. But that doesn't mean the federal government should be funding it. I mean, I think these are two really separate questions, because media outlets like yours and every other commercial radio, television, and all these other platforms that are on streaming that we enjoy on our phones, on computers, and increasingly on our television sets, they're not receiving government funding. Yet they're able to make it as going concern. So I think we've come to the time when we really need to call this question and think about winding this funding down for NPR and PBS affiliates.
And that competitiveness issue is a real one here, Brian, because our program, for example, airs on hundreds of radio stations, all of which the owners have put their own money up. They've invested capital. They have to go out and sell their own ads and generate their own revenue. This puts PBS stations, NPR stations, at a bit of an advantage with the federal government subsidizing them. So on the one hand, you have commercial broadcasters paying taxes, but then some of that revenue goes to their competitor. It doesn't seem to be quite fair.
Well, I agree with you. And if you just look at the funding percentages I cited, they have at least a 10% cost advantage, because the federal funding is representing about 10% of revenue for the local station. Like, I think given these realities, we should really be winding down this federal funding. And if there's a market for NPR's and PBS's programming, their affiliates should be able to attract commercial advertising, right? So we should wind down their funding, but let them have commercial advertising. You know, that way they can raise revenue and survive like any other media outlet. But if there's not a sufficient market for their programming, then their local affiliates will need to adjust their programming or do whatever is needed to succeed. They'll succeed or fail based on the market for what they offer, their ability to grow their audiences, and have to succeed just as you do and all other commercial radio, television, and other platforms have to do today.
There also has been some concern raised. There was a big controversy here a year or so back about the content, that it tends to skew very heavily to, shall we say, the left side of the political spectrum. So from that point of view, have these outlets, NPR in particular, been sometimes a conduit, you know, really more for propaganda than for news?
Well, I will cite for you an essay that was written last year by an editor at NPR, a man named Uri Berliner, who wrote an essay where he just plainly stated that NPR had a liberal bias and that, in fact, tainted its coverage of important news stories. And he cited COVID-19 and the Hunter Biden laptop and other examples where he thought that their coverage was tainted because of the bias that was within there. So we have an internal source who's saying that. It's not just the perception of people outside of NPR who listen to the programming. Also in that essay, he cites a survey where it shows that 57% of NPR's listeners identify as liberal or very liberal. So I would posit this question, because I don't think government should be funding media at all. And I would posit this question to those listeners. Let's say that NPR had a change of management, and instead of the content they have today, they changed to a more right-of-center content, where they sounded more like Fox News. Would those listeners want their tax dollars going to fund that? My guess is they probably would not. And therein lies the rub. That is why the government shouldn't be funding this at all. If there was ever a case for it, we've long since passed the time when that case was there for funding NPR and PBS affiliates.
We have been talking with Brian Rankin, who is an adjunct fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Brian, tell us a little bit about CEI. Also, you write on this and related topics. Where can folks go to find those writings?
The Competitive Enterprise Institute is a Washington, D.C.-based think tank that's dedicated to eliminating excessive regulation and unleashing human potential through free markets. And you can find my writing and the work of all of our experts at CEI.org.
Brian Rankin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Brian, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you so much.